SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, top of hour two, coming to you from Churchill Downs. The turf workers and the turf joggers were out here over the last half hour, and most of the Euros that had made the trip in had came out of quarantine, and a lot of them getting their first tour. And I mentioned I put up a couple of not such great photos of Enable and a couple of the other Gosdens, including Roaring Lion, who's very different for a Kitten's Joy, the gray Kitten's Joy. So take a look at those, a little video clip of them. They were all in the chute, and they were just kind of going around in a circle, it, just the way I came in off Longfield Avenue, and there they were. It was kind of fun and kind of quiet, and get a chance to see them and Enable, very pretty and seem very much relaxed with the environment. In fact, they all did. There was also Maurice Diamond and Mark Johnston's runner for the juvenile turf, and the horse that was out that is on the AE list actually for Gosden is not going to get in. Not sure if there's an alternate opportunity for Legends of War. And then, of course, Roaring Lion. Speaking of Roaring Lions, here he is, Johnny D. Good morning.
Stevie! I hear you made it to Kentucky.
I did. I got here on Saturday after the halfway trip. I stayed in Erie, actually, right across from Presque Isle. And they were jumping. Got here on Saturday, and we had a nice session on Sunday. Quite a few workers to talk about later with Mike Welch, and of course all those works available for people. Not just the ones here, Johnny, but what XBTV's offering is just invaluable.
What XBTV has is sensational. Go to XBTV.com. Check out the workouts there. Even if you aren't a workout expert, it's a great way to learn to watch these horses work. And XBTV is doing some excellent work this year, putting workouts side by side. I don't know if you've seen any of that yet, Steve. They're taking workouts from one horse that was maybe two workouts ago or a while ago, and they're putting it next to a current workout so you can see the difference, and they're analyzing it for the viewers, and it's a great way to learn, to improve not only your handicapping, but your appreciation of the sport. And, if you know what you're looking at, it makes it so much more enjoyable. And we all look at this sport on different levels. So if you can raise your level of appreciation for what's going on, it just makes it that much more fun and that much more enjoyable. And XBTV is doing a great job of giving you these side-by-side views of the Breeders' Cup contenders.
No doubt, and being able to, to add this to the handicapping arsenal, I know some people are intimidated and feel like they don't necessarily know what they're seeing and how to necessarily interpret it, but the only way to add this to your arsenal, to your handicapping toolbox, is to work at it and is to watch, because the more you watch, the more of an understanding you'll have, and you know, then when you see how the horses perform, you can then equate with what you saw, so that you know for the next time. This is one of those areas that is, you know, is that layer of comprehension. And I got to say, Johnny, I know there's people, the internet spews out the stupidity at how it's a waste, and everyone's suddenly an expert. Don't pay any attention to that. We're at a point in the handicapping pantheon, basically, that the information is so good. The written information, the statistics, the pace figures, the speed figures. There is so much information that is in the hands of so many players. That's what's made it hard to make money. So there's really one last thing that is an individual, could be an individual asset, and that is each player's understanding of what they're seeing horses coming into races. And if you add that, and if you get confidence in understanding what you're seeing, you've given yourself an edge that nobody else, others might be capable of, but if you've got it, it enhances your ability to win.
It's funny, you talk about that, because we have our workout experts, and they look at workouts every day. They watch workouts every morning from claiming horses all the way up to the best horses in the world. And they're pros. They know what they're looking at, and some of them are better at it than others. Naming no names. Some workout analysts are excellent, and some are not as good. It's just like anything else. But for the fan, for the regular guy, for the guy who wants to cash a ticket, these are Breeders' Cup horses. They are all going to move well. You're not going to see anything watching a workout video that's going to, you're not going to have an aha moment. It's not going to happen. We talk about this at Derby time when the horses are working at Churchill and we're looking for something. You're going to have one, maybe two horses who really, work lights out. And then what I also want to know about are the one or two horses who are not doing well Derby week or leading up to the Derby because in their training. It's not going to be many more than that. And with the Breeders' Cup, every one that goes by, you've got different types of works. You've got fast works. You've got teamworks, like Chad Brown teamworks, where, they stay right with each other and they're under a snug hold. And how can the average guy tell which horse is going easier? It's impossible. Very professional, minute distinction. And so you're not, look, if you're going to workouts looking for some, key to the Breeders' Cup, you're not going to find it. Watch the workouts. Listen to the analysts. You've got Zoe and you've got Millie, Zoe Cadman and Millie Ball with XBTV. I've been watching the Breeders' Cup show. I think Caton has done an outstanding job of analyzing the workouts of the Breeders' Cup horses on this morning show, coming from Churchill. She's been super. And if you can just take in what what Millie says, what Zoe says, what Caton, how they're describing what's going on, what to look for, ears. Look at a horse's ears. Look at how the exercise rider's hand, how high in the saddle the exercise rider. Are the exercise rider's arms moving? What does the horse look like? Look at the horse and say, is this horse trying really hard? Or is this horse just breezing along? They're very basic things. It's like if you were watching an athlete, a sprinter in a race, or any kind of athlete in a race. Is he going easy, or is he trying really hard? But don't expect you know, you look at the workouts and say, "Oh, I didn't get anything out of it." Don't expect. You got to lower your expectations here. You're not going to see something that's going to say, "Oh my God!" Now, it's true. Once in a great while, you will see something, and you say, "Wow, that horse is just gliding across the track. That horse is just flowing." And then you can put your money on that horse. But first you have to learn what you're looking at. And it's really just, it's a feeling. You know, it's kind of, it's not exactly like this, but it's similar to looking at a painting. You know, you look at the painting and some people look at it, "Oh, I don't like it, I don't see it." Somebody else will look and say, "Oh, that's wonderful. Look at the way it flows. Look at the colors. You'll see all these things." And that's kind of the way workouts are. But will a piece of art strike everyone and take everyone's breath away? Not really, but every once in a while, there is something that, you know, almost everyone agrees it has a magical quality to it. And I, in my personal opinion, thought that American Pharoah, when he moves, when he worked out, he had that. He had a magical way of moving that was just poetry in motion. So, hey, if you can go back and pull up an American Pharoah workout and watch that, to me, and I'm not the world's best expert, but to me, that was poetry in motion. So we want to start there and say, okay, this is what it should look like, and then start to look. The whole workout world is really interesting. And just remember, this is the Breeders' Cup. They're the best horses in the world. They're in the best shape. Most of them are in the best shape of their lives. There's not going to be many aha moments. There may be a couple, but there's not going to be many.
I generally agree, and there, you know, the there are moments that are like yesterday. You had a wild occurrence with Imperial Hint, and for instance, if you haven't seen this, we're kind of looking down, and Imperial Hint is going an easy half mile essentially when the Bill Mott pair kind of ranges up behind and spins off the turn. And is within maybe two lengths of Imperial Hint throughout the stretch. And then as they approach the wire, Imperial Hint is talk about ears moving. Imperial Hint knows they're there. And the closer they got to the wire, which really gives you an indication of what, you know, when people say, the horse knows, you know, where the wire is. Yeah, they do, because they're trained to finish. Those that use the finish line as the, you know, some have horses gallop out past the finish line out and, you know, at least an extra furlong. But, you know, horses from the time they're young, they know the riders relax on them past that wire, so they know where they are on the racetrack and in the process of this assignment, even in the mornings. Well, Imperial Hint, the closer they got to the wire, the more annoyed he was getting that there were horses that were hanging. It's sort of like when you're driving and there's some asshole that is intent on being in that spot off your back bumper, and it's there, that you know they're there. Either pass us or don't pass us or back off. That's what this is reminiscent of. And he grabbed the rider and took off around the turn. And then when midway around the turn, when he really should have been kind of relaxing, he absolutely refused and tore in around onto the backstretch, and ultimately with the rider absolutely standing up on the dashboard, as they say, trying to get him to stop. And you know, certainly a situation that Louis Carvajal initially was not happy with. In fact, he wanted him to go faster earlier. But I think, frankly, all it did was reinforce to people how neat a horse Imperial Hint is and how he's on tilt and ready to do what's ever required on Saturday in that sprint. And I don't think it was a negative what happened yesterday at all.
Well, you know, that's interesting because, you know, some people would say, oh, you know, he ran off or he did this. No, look, he's a fast horse. He's a competitive horse. He's a little pocket rocket, man. He's just a bundle of power. And, you know, he wanted to do it. He wanted to get out there and do it. And he's had some easy races. The last one was ridiculously easy. And he's about ready probably to explode. So I don't know. I think that fits about – that's him. I mean, is it kind of a that's the other thing. You don't know if that positively affected him or negatively affected him. There are people on both sides of the – so, you know, just get to – for me, what I took away from that, I already knew Imperial Hint, but I got to see a little bit more of him. I got to see his, you know, as you mentioned, his personality. What's made him, you know, what is he, out of a $2,000 sire? You know, he's come from nowhere and become one of the top sprinters in the world. That's why, because he's a fighter, you know, and you get to know him better. That's what this is all about. I'll tell you one thing, Steve. I'm so glad that the Breeders' Cup is at Churchill Downs. I'm over the moon.
Well, expand.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking Tom Durkin can get those sandwiches. He can eat like 8 sandwiches while he's there. He doesn't have to save anything for the trip home.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about Durkin. I love it. good job. Well, we also, Johnny, being here, of course, you know, you got some conditions that we'll have to deal with, and that'll include what appears to be certain wet weather Wednesday and Thursday. Friday and Saturday look fine, and certainly the main track will dry out beautifully. It always does. It drains better than any track in the country, and so, you know, fast dirt certainly for the weekend. The turf is going to be, I don't want to call it an issue, but the turf is going to have to be dealt with, and it doesn't look great even going in here. There's a lot of brown patches, and there's a real concern from local horsemen, let alone Euro horsemen showing up and getting some gallops over now with the dogs out. But I will tell you that there's going to be horses that are going to underperform and, you know, also overperform on this course, and there's not going to necessarily be an easy way to know who will succeed on it and who won't. I got to tell you, I think, you know, anybody that you can interpret off of previous form on this turf course at this time of year, that's the only advice I've got. I think it's going to be a very difficult portion of the handicapping and wagering decision process come Friday and Saturday.
As if we needed this to get more.
Exactly.
No, it's, you know, dealing with the, unless you know a horse has a certain preference for soft or firm, you know, just start. I think it's best to start with the basics. If you know a horse has a preference for soft or firm, start there. And you can see maybe in his past performances, he has a preference. Maybe he has no preference. Maybe he's done well on both. Okay, so we can't – you've got horses coming from Europe. The ground over there is so different at different tracks. It's going to be on the softer side than our track, our turf courses, for the most part. However, what we've had this summer in the East have been very European. very European courses. So the horses who excelled on the softer courses, I would give them, you know, a little bit more consideration. When you get to this point, once you get past the distinction of firm or soft or cut in the ground, firm or a little bit soft, preference, once you get past that, it's going to be tough to make. And once you get past the distinction of, does this horse really like Churchill? Churchill's turf course. If you can find runners like that, you got to give them extra credit in this race. So other than those main top line decisions, I really think you're going to be confusing yourself or adding confusion to something you don't really need to, because you're not going to have, as you just said, there's not a way for you to figure it out. Whatever that Churchill turf course is come Friday and Saturday, firm or a little given the ground, one or the other, see if you can make a distinction, or if you read something or you hear something about a particular horse. I just heard this morning, Talismanic likes it firm. Enable, doesn't matter. Firm, a little bit off, doesn't matter. She handles it all. Voltgeist, a little bit of cut in the ground is better. She likes it a little softer. So when you pick up on these little hints, you know, file those away and use those. But if you want to go any deeper, it's, you know, I was told years ago, probably 30 years ago, by a Hall of Fame trainer, that I don't even know if it's true to this day. I think it is, but I don't know. That horses who like Keeneland's course also like Churchill's course because they're
sand-based
composition.
Sand-based.
Which is different than California. Very different than California. Plus, in California, the turf is almost always firm. You know, 98% of the time, it's firm. So, you know, these are differences. I would say factor them into your handicapping. And, you know, so where does this come into the process? Where does all this enter the handicapping process? I think, and my personal way of looking at it, is to establish a list of contenders for each race. Who can you accept without stretching? Who can you accept as the winner, as a possible winner of this race? In other words, you'll get to a certain name, and you'll say, oh, no, I can't do that. Okay, that's not a contender. But everyone before that, list those horses. Now, some races you're going to have four horses. Some races you're going to have five, six, seven. If you get to a race and you start looking at it and you start saying, well, you know, he can win. I wouldn't be surprised if he won. If you start to do that, you either better think about passing the race or hitting the all button, because you have no opinion. You know, for whatever reason, you can't narrow the race down. But start with this list of contenders, and then you'll start to whittle that list down this afternoon when they draw post position. You'll say, I don't like this horse as much from the outside. You'll start the turf condition. This horse likes soft. This horse likes firm. I'll give this one an edge. You'll start to whittle down the contenders. Because if you don't narrow these fields down, you will be overwhelmed. The other thing you have to do, you absolutely have to, in my humble opinion, you have to look at the wagering menu. And you have to take the races and look at the way you've narrowed down the field. And look at the wagering menu and decide beforehand. Before first post, the night before, plan your wagering attack. Where are your strengths? Do you have a single? Is there a horse a runner on the card that you think should win? Doesn't have to be a price horse. Can be a favorite. Now, on these days, you know, you can mix a favorite in with 3 10-to-1 shots and get a really nice payoff. Find your singles if you have them. My biggest successes on these days have come when I found singles. And then what do you do with them? What do you do with this horse that you think is going to win? Look at the doubles. Look at the pick threes. Look at the trifectas. Look at the superfectas. Look at ways you can use this horse that you really like. Maybe, and look, in my estimation, 1 or 2 or 3 may have you. I think you're going to have 1 or 2 that you really love. Not like. You know, we all say, who do you like? This one's who do you love? 1 or 2 on the card. Now, you may have a long shot that you think, hey, at the price this horse is worth a wager. Fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your single, your key horse for the 2018 Breeders' Cup. And I've made some huge flatbeds on these kinds of horses. And you'll get a decent price, you know, because the fields are so deep. Even though you think this horse is a no-brainer, you'll get a decent price. And you know, hang your hat on those. If you have to go all single off around your single, that's not a bad way to go. You just, you know, try and hit one out of the park. But the overriding advice is, look at the wagering menus. And this year we've got so many, everything to choose from. Everything they can offer, they're offering. Pick 5, pick 6, pick 4, pick 3, rolling, pick rolling, double, whatever. You will get overwhelmed if you don't sit down, particularly in the pick 4s, the pick 3s. Look at the wagers, structure your wagers. Absolutely lay out the numbers of the horses in each leg. Now, is it in stone? No, obviously it's not in stone, but at least you have a plan. And on these days, you have to have a good plan, or else you will get overwhelmed. You really will, you know, especially if you're at the event. And you talk to people, you go to the paddock, you'll have a cocktail, you look at the horses, oh, that one doesn't look right, that one. You've got to have a plan ready to take in. Who enters battle without some kind of a plan? That's a recipe for disaster. So you got to have a game plan. And it's not just the handicapping. It's the wagering.
Exactly.
You've got to spend a significant amount of time in the wagering. And by the way, once you make your list of contenders, And that list of possible contenders, which is purposefully a pretty wide open net. Okay, once you make that list, if someone off your list wins the race, you weren't going to have it anyway. So don't feel bad. In other words, it may be a major upset that no one saw coming. So you're not going to be right all day every day. It's not going to happen. So you've got to put your best foot forward in the races where you feel you have some opinion. Because these fields are, you look at it, 7 or 8 of them could win, and you say, yeah, I see that. I get that. But when you start to cull it down, you start to break your egg, and you cut that list of possible contenders down to 3 or 4 or 2 or 1, you have to do it, because you can't play everyone. You just can't. You'll make yourself crazy. And sometimes you're going to be right. Sometimes you're going to be wrong. And always, to bring myself back to sanity, I always like to say, well, it's not the first time I've been wrong, and it won't be the last. That's just the way the Breeders' Cup is.
Well, and also, you know, we trot out a few things all the time for this, you know, the keep your powder dry concept, which is budget yourself and make sure that you have got the appropriate amount in reserve for the later stages on Saturday, because there's no worse feeling. And we've said this 100 times in 15 years. Do not get to the turf or the distaff and classic the last 3, 4, 5 races and not be financially stable and sound at that point in the day when those might be your best opinions, and apportion out, budget out what and where you expect to spend. If you get up in front of yourself and get ahead, that's tremendous. If you get behind, do not tap into that reserve. If you have to sit out or trim back in certain parts of the weekend, do it. But do not find yourself, tapping your pockets, trying to find money for some of your best opinions late.
The best Breeders' Cup I ever had is when I strategized. I took the horse that I really liked. I singled him. I strategized. I developed a pick four around him, and I got it, I don't know, maybe 3, 4 times, 5 times, whatever. I submitted it, actually made the wager before I went to the races, Breeders' Cup Saturday. I submitted the wager. The day goes on, and it's a long day, and I'm playing, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the late pick four is coming up. And so I look at what I had mapped out, and I submit the ticket, and I get it 4 or 5 times. And I put it in. I'd forgotten that I'd already put it in once. And it hit, so I had it like 8 times. Because after the race, I looked at my account, like, where did all this money come from? I know I had it, but I didn't have it. I had already put it in. And that's really, and I felt, it worked out because I had a single in a multi-leg wager that was going to be the favorite. But I really felt strongly about this single, and it happened to fall in the late pick four. And that's why I'm talking about. Look at the structure. Look at where, you know, and don't manufacture something. You've got to do the handicapping first, and then look at the wagering. But it happened to fall in a great spot because that late pick four was, everybody was gunning for that. That was the biggest pool. And so I hit it well. But this year, looking at the late pick four, I don't have a single yet in the late pick four. Unless I decide to, I think Enable is in the, I think she's in the late pick four.
Yeah.
I have so much respect for John Gosden as a trainer, as a person. And I got to know him very well in California when the time he spent there. I was running around as a struggling jockey agent, and he's just one of those really good people. You know, he's a really nice person, and he's a superb trainer. And I have so much respect for his ability. And, of course, Frankie Dettori rides Enable. I think he rode a tremendous race in the Arc. When he took the lead and boom, let her get there, let her open up, and then just hang on. I thought it was a great, because they knew going in she was a little bit not quite there. She only had the one race this year. She's lightly raced this year, so it was, you know, maybe it's not all going to be there for you, Frankie. And I thought he did a masterful job. The word now is that she's better than she was going in New York. And Gosden, after the race, he was kind of joking, which John will do, but I think he was, in a way, kidding on the square. He said, well, now I have a fit, which is a scary thought, you know. But I go back, and well, I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second, but as everyone knows, the Breeders' Cup wager guide, ARC winners do not do well in the Breeders' Cup. Have not done well in the Breeders' Cup. They haven't won the Breeders' Cup. Not that they don't do well, they haven't won the Breeders' Cup. They haven't won the Breeders' Cup turf. ARC participants have done very well. In fact, if you're reading a race before winning the Breeders' Cup turf, I think nine times, I think, the winner, an ARC competitor has won the Breeders' Cup turf. So in my way of thinking, and Abel comes into this race. Now, remember, she's a two-time ARC winner, but this year she comes into the race where the Breeders' Cup is not like, she's not spent. She went into the ARC needing a race. And so now she's fit now. That's to my way of thinking. So she's not like your previous ARC performers that have come over here, where the ARC was the goal. You know, that was, and the Breeders' Cup was more of an afterthought. I think she's different in that she's only raced twice this year. She's fresh, she's good, and she may have benefited from the race. That's my thought. So she's a possible single for me. I respect Voltgeist. I'm not as bullish on the U.S. contingent, although certainly the soft ground, the pace of the race certainly gives everyone pause. Channel Maker, Robert Bruce, Glorious Empire, they're kind of our leading contenders. But I may, because I can't single the classic. I really can't. I think it's a very wide open race. I don't think I can single the Distaff. I don't think I need to go real deep. Abel Tasman, I don't know what to do with her. I'm confused. Blue Pride, I'm a big fan of Blue Pride. She's a fighter. You know, I don't know what that act was the other day, but she's a fighter. Midnight BC, I think, is coming up in this race very well. She looked great working yesterday or the day before. I just think she's peaking at the right time. Monomoy Girl, wow, she's the leader of the three-year-old Philly division. She's got speed. She's going to be in a great spot. She's had a bit of a long year. And she's kind of a little bit quirky. Makes the lead and kind of waits a little bit. I don't think you can leave any of that, of those four out. And others might argue there's more, but so I don't think there's a single there. And I hope the mile's not in there. We got to pick five to worry about this year. The mile, I have no idea. None. I have to admit, I have no idea. I really don't. I'm lost. So if you can help me with the mile, I'd appreciate it.
Now, the consensus seems to be that the European community in general is for the adult races, the big boy table on Saturday, and the big girl table, that, you know, they're particularly strong. I when it comes to the mile, and the mile is in the the mile starts the late pick four. I've heard alternate views. I got to go back, because actually, for whatever reason, I have not. It's, now that you say that, I have looked less at the mile than I usually or typically do, and I think part of that was waiting to see. I was kind of delaying it until we knew exactly who was going to be involved. That was a contributing factor. So I actually can't, at least as of right this second, I cannot help you formulate your mile opinion.
And isn't that a race where turf status really mean something? Because you've got a horse in there.
Oh, sure, of course. Of course. Of course.
Doesn't like soft fur. We all know that. So that's a case where if it's soft, but yet, you know, normally he would be on the lead. He might just take them wire-to-wire in that race. I mean, perfectly understandable scenario. But if it's soft, now what do we do, right? And Churchill, I guess, is not his record of Churchill is not outstanding, if I remember correctly.
Well, you've got eight, what looks to be at this point, eight Euro players out of the 14. Polydream, Expert Eye, Gustav Klimt, I Can Fly, Happily, Lightning Spear, and of course we talked to David Simcock a few weeks ago after the win up at Woodbine in the mile, and I asked them about Lightning Spear, and they've been pointing here for with intent for an extended period. One Master from William Haggis, and then Mustachery has managed to get in to the race. And if a Raving Beauty, that's kind of an interesting situation that happened. The number 15 and 16 horses were both Shadwell. The Shadwell Mustachery for Sir Michael and Almanar for Chad Brown. And if a Raving Beauty does go in the filly and mare turf as anticipated, then both of the original outside Shadwell runners will both get in, but Mustachery, the European base. So eight of the 14, and the domestic mile players, you're looking at Analyze It, Catapult, Nexshare, Hunt, and Almanar, other five. So the Euros look very, very tough in here, and you can...
Free Express Bet Breeders' Cup wager guide tells you that the mile, strangely enough, has been an American race.
Yeah, there's been plenty of upsets.
Of the last 7 years, American-based horses have won and have accounted for 15 of 21 trifecta placings during that span. The Woodbine Mile is one you can rely on, a top three finisher in 10 of the last 11 years, including four winners. Court Vision was a Woodbine Mile runner who won the mile last time was at Churchill Downs. At Churchill Downs, the mile, five of eight winners have been 10-1 or more. So that suggests maybe looking for a price in here. Anyway. You get the idea. There's lots more of these types of stats and trends in the guide.
Well, and the updates will start tomorrow once we get the draw wrapped up this afternoon downtown, and we'll give you all the details if anybody wants to watch it. It actually is a bit of a long process, but it's one of those things that, there's 14 races to draw. The racing office here, Ben Huffman's office, is taking entries right now for the undercard races, and both will be available before the Breeders' Cup race draws. There'll be the early overnight that'll come out. So the rest of the action, both Friday and Saturday, will be available to you. And, you know, you bring up, Johnny, the American successes, and that does include the upset of Goldakova when she was going for her fourth back in 2011 here, when Court Vision and Tour Allure, a photo that still haunts me, Goldakova had won here the year before. You go back a little bit further, and you did have War Chant as a favorite for Neil Drysdale. Avert a huge upset. Northeast Bound was the longest shot on the board and barely, beaten the dirtiest of noses. You also can think about going back here at Churchill with DeHaas, who was a decent price, paid $25 over Hawksley Hill and Labib. So, you know, Churchill has been a furtive place for, you know, some of the, you know, some of the less logical results when it comes to the mile. Barathea was a $20 horse. You know, going back to 94, who was the favorite that year? Lure trying to repeat, of course, and failed. So Churchill, not a bad place to go fishing for a price historically at Churchill.
The favorite might be 5-1 here.
Well, especially because I can tell you, I even heard yesterday some people kind of wondering why Polydream is such a, you know, is such a universal, you know, acclamation top choice. I mean, maybe out of default, but I have heard that here. I've been here 36 hours, and one of the things I've heard a couple of times is, why's Polydream got a win?
Doesn't have to.
That's been proven. As I've said for many years, if Rock of Gibraltar can get beat in this race, anybody can get beat. That's that was one of the ones that you know, there's been some, and it's a roughly run race of the turf races. The mile is equivalent to the sprint. The sprint is run typically pretty roughly, you know, and helter skelter, and they you know, bust out, and the mile has always been a roughly run race. I mean, of the turf events, notoriously so. So, a lot to look forward to. Johnny, your final thoughts available when you put your classic superfecta together.
Yeah, my final thoughts will be available Thursday at expressbet.com in my weekly on-track column. And then also, those who follow the ExpressBet wager guide, my thoughts will be posted as an update to the guide. So you'll get it there, too. The
Excellent.
Guide is everything you need to lose intelligently.
Well, it has. I mean, it is chock full. I printed it out on Friday before I left, and was looking at it again, and put up some tidbits for people. There's just a lot to work with. It's a great way to get started, and more information will be layered onto it by everybody involved: myself, Nick Luck, Brian Nadeau, Jeff Siegel, Dick Girardi, Millie Ball, Frank Carulli, Jeremy Plonk, Bob Neumeier, Jerry Schottenkirk, Matt Dinnerman, Stan Salter, and Megan Devine, and Brian W. I think I said Brian twice. Johnny, we'll catch up later in the week as well, and we'll get some other final opinions from you.
Thank you, Stevie. Enjoy your time in Kentucky, and tell Tom to save one of those sandwiches for you.
I got to go over there. I got to get. I was on that side of town last night. Actually, we had a John Nichols had a nice birthday party for Michelle Lovell. Today's her birthday. Johnny D, everybody, XP Johnny D, and he'll be tweeting stuff out. As mentioned, that his terrific superfecta play that, you know, he uses the same approach in his Derby analysis, and there'll be Eddie Olchik's thoughts as well, and Brent Musburger chipping in as well. Let's take a break here. Jack Sadler is going to join us next from South Carolina. And, of course, Jack, his whole career really spent as an integral part of Dogwood Stable. And he'll talk about his professional and personal association with Cott Campbell. Stay with us. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't wait. with 14 challenging Breeders' Cup races, 5 Friday, November 2nd, and 9 Saturday, November 3rd, you've got to be ready. Kickstart your handicapping mojo with ExpressBet's free Breeders' Cup wager guide, available online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, October 26th. Get analysis, selections, price plays, and $100 wagering strategies for every Breeders' Cup race from expert handicappers and broadcasters, plus plenty of stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. XBTV's Jeff Siegel, At the Races radio host Steve Vick, NBC Sports Analysis Nick Luck, and multiple Eclipse Award winner Dick Girardi anchor a powerful team of guide experts. NBC Sports Analyst Eddie Olchek and retired sportscaster Brent Musburger of VSEN will contribute to a revised guide version available Thursday, November 1st. Go to ExpressBet.com now, open an account, and get the free guide and play Breeders' Cup.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.